Zvachim Daf Nun. Something which you learn from a hekesh can be used to teach us something via a kal v'chomer. What about something learned from a gezeirah shava? Could it teach us via a binyanav? Gemara says teiku. Something learned from a kal v'chomer, can it teach via a kal v'chomer? Gemara says yes. That's called a ben of a kal v'chomer. And in fact, you can learn two levels of a kal v'chomer. That's called a ben benoy kal v'chomer. Normally, if an animal dies before shechita, it's called an avela, and it can be metama. If shechita was done, and then we found the problem, it's called a trefa, and it can't be metama via tumas nevela. But by a mlikas ha'if, which is done instead of a shechita for an if, it's a machlekes if a trefa can take away tumas nevela. Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara asks, something learned from a binyanav, can it teach through a hekesh, gzera shava, kal v'chemer, or binyanav? Our answer is, via binyanav, it can. The Gemara asks, how do we learn the inyan of the west side of the Beis HaMikdash? My answer is the pasuk in Vayikra, Dalad, Yud Dalad says, El Yisayir HaMizbeach Ha'ilah Asher Pesach Ayel HaMayid, and the Pesach Ayel HaMayid is in the west. From here we see that the Shirayim, the remaining blood, is poured on the Yisayir Maravi, the western base of the outer Mizbeach. Taisus asks, why do we need a pasuk to teach us this halacha? There's a halachic maxim, as is brought in Kuntras Aladav, of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs. It's prohibited to postpone or pass up the opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah. As we know from the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, and the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, it should be apparent, even without a pasuk, that the Shirayim should be poured on the western Yisayid, since this is the first Yisayid encountered by the Kohen Gadol when exiting the Heichal. In response, Tosfos limits the scope of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs to situations where one encounters two mitzvahs and doesn't know which one to do first. One such case is discussed in the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara deals with determining which of the four matnois dam blood applications on Yom Kippur should be applied first. The maxim of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs determines that the Zrika should commence with the corner of the Mizbeach closest to the Kohen Gadol, because one should not pass up one mitzvah to do another instead. However, in a situation where there is a single mitzvah to perform, such as Shvicha Shirayim, as we have here, and one doesn't know the appropriate place for the mitzvah, the maxim of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs cannot be employed in determining that the place encountered first is necessarily the appropriate place. Taisus in Megillah, Daf Vav Amud Beis, however, refutes this answer because the Gemara there appears to contradict it. Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yossi maintains that in a leap year, when there are 2 months of Adar, the Megillah should be read on the 14th of the first Adar. The Gemara there cites Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs as the reason for Rabbi Eliezer's position. He holds that the Megillah should be read during the first Adar, since one may not pass up an opportunity to fulfill a mitzvah. This Gemara clearly indicates, contrary to Taisus and Zvachim, that the maxim of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs is employed not only when there is a question regarding two mitzvahs, but even in determining the appropriate time or place for an individual mitzvah. We know that the halacha, as is brought in our Achayim Simen Chafei, we know that one, learning from there, that one should put his talis on before his tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch there writes that, consequently, one should be careful not to place his tefillin above his talis in his talis bag. If one were to do so, then the next morning, when he wants to don his talis, he would inevitably encounter his tefillin first, and based on the maxim of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs, he would be prohibited from passing up his tefillin in order to take his talis. The Rimolchai, as is brought in Simen Pei Gimel, was questioned whether one who has two talisim, one for Shabbos and one for weekdays, is obligated to always take whichever talis he encounters first. For example, if after Shabbos one leaves his Shabbos talis on top of his weekday talis, is he required on Sunday morning upon encountering his Shabbos talis first to take it and put that on? The Rimalcha answered that the resolution of this question depends on the two above mentioned Taisvasim. According to Taisvus and Zvachim, it would appear that Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs is not applicable here, since we are dealing with a single mitzvah, and one should accordingly be permitted to pass his Shabbos talis in order to get to his weekday talis. However, according to Taisvus and Megillah, who proves that Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs prohibits passing up the opportunity of any mitzvah, then it's osur for one to pass one talis to get to another. In conclusion, however, the Rimalche postulates that the principle of Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs is not applicable in this case, even according to Taisvus and Megillah. He says that Ein Mavir and Ala Mitzvahs applies only with regard to mitzvahs that one is prepared to perform at the time he encounters them. However, if, for example, one picks up his tefillin while still in his house before he leaves to shul, he's not required to immediately put them on in the house, since he's not prepared to perform the mitzvah until later in shul. In this case, too, argues the Rimalchai, that since the Shabbos talis is designated specifically for Shabbos, even if he encounters it first, he's not mechuyev to put it on. Finally, the Gemara says, with all karbanos, all leftover blood must be poured onto the Yusayin HaMizbeach, and even if the carbon is brought on the Mizbeach HaZav, you still must pour the leftover blood outside into the Yusayin Mizbeach HaChitzon. Tachnun Beis. The Pasuk says, Yusayin Mizbeach HaEila, to teach us that the dam must be put on the top horizontal part of the Yusayin, not the lower vertical part. Whether if not doing the Shirayim with the dam is Ma'akev, is a machlaikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Finally, the Zrikas dam only allows the eating of the meat of the carbon if it is applied in the proper place on top. If not, it isn't matter the meat for eating. The Mishnah. These are the additional chatois tzibor. The se'irim brought as the carbon musaf on my Adam and Rosh Chodesh. Both shchita and kabbalah must be done in mitzafah and azara, and the kabbalah needs a kli sharis. The zrika requires four applications on each of the four corners of the mizbeach. First, he turns right and goes to the southeast corner. Then the northeast corner, then the northwest corner, then the southwest corner. This is all in a counterclockwise direction. The leftover blood is spilled to the south. The meat must be eaten in the Azara, only by Kohanim, the day of the Hakrava, and then through that particular night. The Rabbanan created a siyag and said that it can only be eaten the full day, and that night until Chatzais. Dafnun Gimel, the Gemara. He puts the dam on the Mizbeach with one of his fingers on each of the lower parts of the corners. There was a red line dividing the middle of the Mizbeach to show where the damim of a carbon elyon should go versus the damim of a carbon tachtoin should go. The next Mishnah. The oila is called kachay kachim, so both the shechita and the kabbalah take place in the tzafa and azara. The dam requires a double matana. The skin must be removed and the entire animal must be burnt. The Gemara. Why does the Mishnah point out that an oila is considered kachay kachim? Why specifically the oila does it point that out? Our answer is, since the Pasuk doesn't tell us beferish that it's kachay kachim, so the Mishnah does. The dam of the oila is only put on the northeast and southwest corners, each with two zrikas on both sides of each corner. The Mizbeach took up space in the Chelek Yehuda and in Chelek Binyamin. The rest of the Azara, however, was in the Chelek of Yehuda. Dafnun Dalet. Since Binyamin really wanted to have the Mizbeach in his Chelek, he was zeicha to have the Shechina rest with him. The Gemara asks, how was the Malika of the Oilas Ha'if done? Our answer is, the Kayan with his thumbnail would cut through the back of the neck, cutting through the windpipe and the food pipe, and the dam would be pressed against the wall of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was the size of 32 amas by 32 amas. It had three layers as well, and each corner of the Mizbeach had holes to be mekabel the blood. The Gemara says David was with Shmuel, and they were together in Ramah, and they were Isaac to find the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And since the Pasuk in Devarim says Vekamta Ve'alisa, we learn that the Beis HaMikdash was at a high spot. The Sanhedrin was in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Lishkas HaGozes, which was in the Chelek of Yehuda. The Mishnah. Shalmei Tzibor, which includes the Kivtzei Atzeres on Shavuos, and the Karban Asham, are both called Kachay Kachim. The Asham includes a number of different potential Karbanas. The Asham Gzelos, this is if one denies that he received a Pikadon, and he swore falsely, and then he was Maida. The Asham Me'ilais, if one has Hana by accident from something that was hektish. Asham Shifcha Harufa, if someone was Bayal, a Shifcha Knanis who was designated for an Eved Ivri. Number 4, an Asham Nazir, if he became Tomei Meis. Number 5, Asham Mitzera, to purify the Mitzera. And finally, number 6, Asham Toloi, if someone is Besafik, if he was Iver. And Isra Chattas, then he also brings this carbon Asham, which is called an Asham Toloi. In all of these cases, we say that the Shechita and the Kabbalah are done in the north part of the Azara, and the Zrika is Shtayim Shehen Arba, two applications with Chach, all four Yusaitis. It must be eaten inside the Azara, only by a male Kayin, on the day of the Hakrava and the following night. But the Rabbanan said, as a Syag, it can only be eaten the full day and the following night until Chatzais. Dafnun Hei, the Gemara. The fact that all takes place in the north of the Azara is learned from the Oila, which is connected via Pasuk to Shalmei Tzibor. In Bamidbar Yud. The next Mishnah. The Karban Toida and the Ayil Nazir are called Kachim Kalim. Therefore, the Shechita can be done anywhere in the Azara, not just in the north. They can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim, by anyone, for the day of the Hakrava and the next night until Chatzais. But the parts that were separated, the Emurim, can only be eaten by Kohanim and their families. Gemara. Certain parts can only be eaten in a tahar place as well. The next Mishnah. Shlamim also fall in the category of kachim kalim. There is no me'ila, The shechita can be anywhere on the Azara. They can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim by anyone, and can be eaten, now here's the chiddush, not just for one day and one night, but for a day, a night, and the next day as well. The Gemara. It's a machlekes if we need a special pasuk to tell us that kachim kalim can also be shechted in the north part of the Azara. The shechita must be Pesach Oyel Mayed, meaning that the doors of the Heichal must be opened up while the shechita is taking place. And if the doors of the Heichal were closed, the shechita is pasul. And the same halacha applied in the Mishkan. If the doors of the Heichal and the Beis Hamikdash are open, but there is a curtain, it's still called open, and the shechita is good. The Gemara says from the Azara, one entered as they moved westerly into the Ulam, then the Heichal, then the Kodesh Kadashim. The Ulam was 15 amas wide, going, looking at them straight ahead and moving to the side. So 15 amas wide means going from north to south. As we're walking westerly, if you're talking about width, you're talking north to south. And the ends of the Ulam were small, there were small windows, where the Kohanim used to put their shechita knives. And since in Arabic a knife is called a chalif, this area of the Ulam was called the Beis HaChalifais. And the western entrance of the Ulam had two openings that were open to the Azara, so the Karbanas would always be Pesach Oyel Mayed. Daf Nun Vav. The Chi of Karis for entering the Beis HaMikdash B'mezid, when a person is Tameh, is only if one enters the area of the Mikdash, which includes only the Azara and inward. The Azara was 197 amas length by 135 amas width. But if one just goes on the Har HaBayis, there is not a Chi of Karis. In this area, the Azara, the Kohanim can eat kachim, kache kachim, and can shecht kachim kalim. The Gemara says there were two doors on the side of the Ulam, which were 8 amas tall, so the area opposite in the Azara would be Pesach Oyel Mayed. How do we know that the blood of a carbon becomes pasul at Shkia? The Gemara answer is since it says, B'yayim hakrivai as zivchai. The time of eating of a carbon, for example, Shlomim, which is 2 days and one night, begins from the Zrikas Hadam, not from the time of the Shechita. If someone has a machsheves pigol to eat a karban on the night after day 2, which is Or Shlishi, it's unclear if this is a psul or not. The Mishnah. By the bechar of a behema tohira, by meiser behema, and by karban pesach, these are called kachim kalim. There is no halacha of me'ila. The shechita can be anywhere in the Azara, and the matnas dam is only once. This is a new halacha. And it must be near a yusayd, i.e. not near the southeast corner where there is no yusayd. The bechor can only be eaten by a kayin. Maaser behema, however, can be eaten by anyone. And these karbanas can be eaten for 2 days and one night in between. In other words, a day, a night, and the next day. But the karban pesach can only be eaten till chatzais, the chatzais after Yudal Nisan. It can only be eaten sli, roasted, and only by those who are minuyaf, who are registered in that group to eat it. Nathman Zion, the Gemara. The rule is, if we have two psukim which teach us the same thing, we can't use it to learn something else. Shnei ksuvim habayim keachad ein melamdin. V'lachmei toida have 4 types of bread, 3 of matzah, and 1 of chametz, with 10 of each. 1 of the 10 goes to a kayin. The Tana who holds that the Karban Pesach can only be eaten till chatzais is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Chachamim argue on him. He learns this from the fact that by Karban Pesach it says, Ba'layla hazeh, and by Makas Becheres it also says, Ba'layla hazeh. And since by Makas Becheres it's ad chatzais, so too by Karban Pesach. And the reason one only has till chatzais is because of the siyag, kedei laharchik odam min ha'avera. Tosfos in Masechta Pesachim, daf kuf chaf amud beis, explains that there's a fundamental difference between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, if one fails to eat the Karban Pesach before chatzais, although he has transgressed in Isur Derabanan, it's not also for him to eat it after chatzais. On the contrary, he's mechuyev min haTorah to quickly eat it before daybreak, because after daybreak it becomes nicer. However, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, chatzais is something which is midaraisa. Therefore, after chatzais, it becomes nicer. And a person, if he misses chatzais, it's also for him to eat the Karban Pesach after chatzais. This marks the end of this parak. Now let's begin the 6th parak from Daf Nun Ches Amud Aleph, parak Kodshei Kodshim. And the Mishnah says, the Karbanais which are called Kodshei Kodshim, which include the Oila, the Chatas, and the Asham, these must be shechted on the north side of the Mizbeach. If they were shechted on top of the Mizbeach, Rabbi Yossi says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it was shechted on the southern half of the Mizbeach, it's considered like Daraim, and therefore it's pasul. But if it was shechted on the north side, it's like Tzafin, and therefore it's kosher. And the Gemara asks, what about if someone shechts on the floor under the Mizbeach, on the Tzafin side of the Mizbeach? The Gemara says, this is pasul. Since the Torah uses a lashon of v'zavachta alav es alaysecha, midaraisa, one can shecht an animal on top of the mizbech. The mizbech itself, by the way, was 32 amas wide by 32 amas long. The Gemara says there was a special place they would store wood for use on the mizbech, and the wood was good quality, and it was wood that came from a fig tree. A fig tree was chosen because it gave its leaves to Adam and Chava when they needed them. On Shabbos, they used to need extra wood in order to have extra levaina, extra frankincense, for v'lechem ha'panim. It's a machlokes if the mizbeach hachitzon was in the north part of the Azara, the south part of the Azara, or half in each. Anything that was taken from the inside of the heichal to be put on the mizbeach outside, we know that the large mizbeach was in the Azara, this was called the mizbeach hachitzon, the small mizbeach hazav, was inside of the heichal, but anything that was taken from the inside of the heichal to be put on the mizbeach hachitzon, you would only put that item on the corner of the mizbeach closest to the heichal. And anything from the mizbeach brought into the heichal must be burnt on the part of the mizbeach closest to the heichal. Just to recall, we know that first is the Azara, where the mizbeach hachitzon is, which then led into the ulam, and then that led into the heichal, which eventually led into the kodesh kodashim. Dafnun tes. It was usur to put the kiyar, the fountain, which they used to use to wash their hands, the kohanim to wash their hands, it was usur to put this between the entrance of the heichal and the mizbeach. It is also a question as to whether the ulam and the heichal were considered equal in kedusha. Rabbi Yossi Haglili is the one who holds that the entire mizbeach was in Safin, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one who holds that the entire mizbeach was in the darim, was in the south. The Gemara says if the mizbeach was damaged, all karbanos that were brought on it are pasul. What about if they were still alive when the mizbeach was damaged? The Gemara says these are also considered pasul. The mizbeach hanachayshus from Moshe Rabbeinu was small, and in fact, the mizbeach hanachayshus in the Beis Hamikdash was smaller than the mizbeach chitzayin in the Azara. The pasuk in Shmos Chav Zayin says v'shalosh amos kaimasai. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this teaches us that the mizbeach was 3 amos high, but according to Rabbi Yossi, it was 10 amos high. So then, according to Rabbi Yossi, what does he do with the pasuk that says shalosh amos? He interprets it to mean that from the seivev, which was in the middle of the mizbeach and up, that was 3 amas until the kronos, but really the total height of the mizbeach was 10 amas. Daf samach. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says the entire Azara was mekudesh, even the floor, but for the sprinkling of the blood, you must do this onto the side of the mizbeach. The floor is not enough. And also, the spilling of the blood must happen as a result of the koyach of a person, and not that it spills by itself. If the mizbeach gets damaged, it's also to eat the leftover mincha. In fact, the leftover of any carbon, whether it's kodshei kodshim or kodshim kalim, cannot be eaten either. Rabbi Yossi told over 3 things he heard from Gimel Zakenim, including that what Rabbi Shmuel said. I would think that even nowadays, a person can take Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Maaser Sheni, by the way, is 1/10 of a person's crops, and it's given in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. The 1/10 you take to Yerushalayim. If it's too heavy to take to Yerushalayim, you sell it, and you take the money to Yerushalayim and rebuy fruits to be eaten in Yerushalayim. This was done at the times of the Beis HaMikdash. But you can't do this without a Beis HaMikdash. And this is learned from Bechor, from eating the meat of the Bechor. Just like you cannot eat the meat of a Bechor without a Beis HaMikdash, so too here, you cannot do this, Maaser Sheni, without a Beis HaMikdash. Maaser Sheni must be eaten in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Shmuel learns from Karban Bechor that just like after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Karban Bechor cannot be eaten in Yerushalayim, so too, Maaser Sheni is not eaten in Yerushalayim after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This is because, according to Rashi, Rabbi Shmuel holds, Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shaita, V'Lay Kitcha L'Asid Lavai. The initial Kedusha, which was put on the Beis HaMikdash, was something which wasn't going to last forever. And at the time of the Churban, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Kedusha left the Beis HaMikdash. However, there was an opposing opinion who holds, Kitcha Rishayna Kitcha L'Asid Lavai, that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash lasts forever and exists even today. According to that view, a Karban Bechor can be offered, and Maaser Sheni can be eaten, even after the Churban. Tosfos, however, learns, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, that Kedusha Rishayna Kitcha L'Asid Lavai. However, even though the original Kedusha still exists today, nevertheless, Karbanos cannot be brought if the Mizbeach is not intact, as we learned on Daf Nun Tes that Karbanos can't be brought when the Mizbeach is Nifkam, when the Mizbeach is broken. Rabbi Shmuel compares eating Maaser Sheni to eating the meat of a Bechor. And just as a Bechor cannot be eaten today in the absence of the Mizbeach, neither can Maisi Rishayna be eaten in the absence of the Mizbech. On the subject of Kitcha Rishayna, Kitcha La Sidlavi or not, there appears to be a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Dalet, says Kitcha Rishayna, Kitcha La Sidlavi, and writes that even after the Churban, Karbanos may be sacrificed, and Maisi Rishayna can be eaten in Yerushalayim. The Rambam indicates that he does not agree with Rabbi Yishmael. However, in Hilchas Maaser Sheni, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, the Rambam appears to agree with Rabbi Yishmael, for he writes that Maaser Sheni may be eaten only lifnei habayis, in the presence of the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says even when Klal Yisrael was traveling, those who were tameh, for example the Zavim and the Mitzrayim, had to be sent chutz lemachna. Daf Samach Aleph. The Bnei Kohas were the ones who carried the Mizbech when Bnei Yisrael traveled, and Gershon and Merari would carry the rest of the Mishkan. The Gemara says the Mizbeach of Mishkan Shiloh was made of stones, while the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu was made of copper. The fire that came down from heaven in the time of Moshe onto the Mizbeach, as we see in Parsha Shmini, Vateitze Eish Milivnei Hashem, this fire did not leave the Mizbeach until Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash. And this fire of Shlomo HaMelech did not go out until Menashe removed it. When people of Golos went up to build the second Beis HaMikdash, they added 4 amas to the Mizbeach on the south and 4 amas to the west. The original Beis HaMikdash was 28 by 28 amas at the floor level, and at the top level it was 22 by 22. They made it bigger then, since the first Beis HaMikdash there wasn't enough room for all the karbanos. Aye, but there were so many people in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, many more than in the second Beis HaMikdash, so how wasn't there room in the first Beis HaMikdash that they had to add more in the second Beis HaMikdash when there were less people? Our answer is, in the first Beis HaMikdash, the fire from Shemayim would help the Kabbanis burn quicker. Therefore, it burnt it a lot quicker, and even though there were a lot more people, there still wasn't enough room. Mashenkin, the second Beis HaMikdash, this miracle did not happen, and therefore, there wasn't enough room, and they had to add space. Daf Samach Beis. Rabbi Yosef said they made the Mizbeach larger in the second Beis HaMikdash, since the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila came to the realization that this new larger size was the true correct size for the Mizbeach. The Gemara says they knew which specific spot was for the Mizbeach, since they found the ashes created by Avraham Avinu at the time of Akedas Yitzchak, and that was the spot they put it. 3 Nevi'im went up with Bnei Yisrael from Golos in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, and one of them testified that one can bring a carbon, even after the time of the Beis HaMikdash, since Kitcha Rishayna Kitcha L'Shaita, the Kitcha L'Asidlave. One also said that the Torah should be written in Ksav Ashuris, which is the way we have the Torah written today. That's the special way that it's written inside the Torah. The corners, the kronos of the Mizbeach, the kevesh, the ramp, the yesod, the foundation, and the ribua, the square shape, all of these are ma'akev. If you don't have these on the Mizbeach, it passels the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda says, it must also have a soiviv. This is a small little terrace which runs around the Mizbeach along the side, part of the way up to the top. But if it isn't long or wide enough, if that is a feature that the Mizbeach does not have, the Mizbeach is still kosher. The Gemara says on a certain day, when the Kohen Stuki poured the water of the Nisuch HaMayim of Sukkos on his feet instead of on the Mizbeach, everyone then threw their esregim at him and killed him. With that, they also damaged the Mizbeach as well. Moshe Rabbeinu was mesaken that every morning and every evening, they would put down 2 pieces of wood onto the Mizbeach. Each piece was 1 amma by 1 amma. Since the Mizbeach was in the north, we learned that the Kevesh, the ramp, was in the south. And when the Kohen came to the top of the ramp, he turned right, and when he turned right, he was facing east. Except for 3 cases, anybody who goes up to the Mizbeach turns right. This is because of the principle of Kol Pina Sha'ata Poina, Lo Yehe Ela Derech Yamin. All turns that one makes when doing the Avoda should be towards the right. The principle of moving towards the right is applicable to other mitzvahs as well, as we see in Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim Simen Tafresh Ayin Vav Sif Hei regarding the Chanukah Licht, that when one lights the Chanukah Menorah after the first light, he should first light the left candle and continue from there towards his right until he concludes the kindling with the candle on the far right. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda said that from the main Kevesh there were also 2 additional smaller ramps. One went to the Yesod and one went to the Saiviv, and both were a hairbreadth away from the actual Mizbeach. Daf Samach Gimel, the Mishnah. When the Kohen took off the kaimitz from the Karban Mincha, kaimitz is the process of taking a handful of flour from the Karban Mincha and putting it on the Mizbeach. This is analogous to the Shechita of a Zevach. This can be done anywhere in the Azara, but it can only be eaten by male Kohanim for a period of 1 day and the following night until Chatzais. The Gemara. If the kaimitz was taken off in the Heichal, which is before the Azara, it's also kosher. but if it was done with the left hand instead of the right hand, then it must be redone. The next Mishnah. If one brings a chatas a'if, this is the bird for a chatas, the zrika can only be done on the southwest corner, but b'di'evet it could be done on any part of the mizbech. And this lower southwest corner was used for three things. Number one, the chatas a'if. Number two, the bringing close of the karban mincha. And number three, the leftover blood sprinkling place. But the upper southwest corner was used for three different other things. Number one, nisach hayayin for all karbanis, nisach hamayim on tzukis, and the oilas ha'if, if the rest of the mizbech was too full. The rule was that whenever someone went up to the top of the mizbech, they turned to the right, walked counterclockwise around the top, and then came back down on the left side of the kevesh, the gemara. Just like the karban mincha must be done on the southwest, so too the karban chatas must be done on the southwest. This is learned via a connection of psukim. Finally, if malika was done on any part of the mizbech, but the evet is kosher. If the blood was sprinkled, but it wasn't fully squeezed onto the mizbech, it's also kosher, b'di'evet. Daf samach dalet. By Eilas Ha'if, if the mizbech was full, they went to the southwest corner, since it was the closest to the Beis Hadeshen, the place of the ashes. The Kohanim had to be very strong, because sometimes they had to throw light feathers a distance of 30 amas across the mizbech, and we know that light things are very, very hard to throw. The width of the kevesh, of this ramp, was 16 amas wide. The Kayan would walk up the right side, which is on the east, and would come down on the left side, which is the west. It's interesting to point out that the Pri Megadim in Arachayim Simen Kuf Pei Zayin draws a distinction between a chazan carrying the Sefer Torah to the Bima and an individual who is called for an aliyah. He says that a chazan should take the route towards his right side, even if it's longer. However, one who is called up to the Bima for an aliyah should take the most direct route, not necessarily to the right, because it's considered disrespectful to cause the entire kehillah to wait, and the concept of Kvayt HaTzibor takes precedence over the concept of turning to the right. The Mishnah. How was the chatas ha'if brought? Mishnah answers, the kohen would do the malika, i.e. he would pinch off the head by the back of the neck with his nail, but he wouldn't separate the head from the body. He would then sprinkle blood directly from the bird onto the mizbech. The leftover blood would be squeezed and drained down into the aside, and anything to be eaten was only mutter for kohanim. The Gemara. How was malika done? The kohen would hold the two wings with his two fingers, the pinky and the next finger over, and the two feet with the next two fingers. The neck was stretched on the width of his thumb. The body of the bird was held in the palm of the hand. This was the hardest avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, and the kmitza of the mincha, which is the taking the handful of flour, was also considered to be a difficult avodah. Since we're running out of tape here, we'll begin the next Mishnah, which discusses Oilas Ha'if, on the next tape of Mirtz Hashem, but at this point we will conclude our shir.